Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Big Ed's Neck, the only 90 Day Fiancé podcast. Today we're going to be talking about 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After, Season 8, Episode 8, Three Blind Wives. My name is Marty, I'm here with Jen.
Hey guys.
Let's go start with Patrick and Thais.
First of all, good for him on walking all over the place with like one stiff leg.
Yeah.
And like good for him. He's like, well, I'll push you on the swings and all this bullshit. And like, man, careful.
He didn't bitch out at all. You can't accuse him of that. But, cause that's, you know, that's a lot.
And yeah.
He did that whole fucking trip. Even just going to Brazil with a fucked up leg is a lot. But
yeah. And just walking around the airport. I mean, even a small airport is still big.
It's a lot of walk. Yeah. Yeah. So I guess the big thing that happens is that they meet with Thais's dad.
Yeah.
Right? At
the
park.
I will say that I am attracted to Carlos, man. He is a good-looking guy.
And you know, he's got kind of like an alpha dude, alpha male kind of thing going on. Like,
and he's tall. He obviously works out. He's got like this assertive, this boldness. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm like, all right, Carlos, are you still single? Or
he's
what's
got
going
confidence.
On?
Like, yeah. He can't, you know, he knows exactly who he is, what he wants, and he's going to tell you.
You know?
So, yeah, okay, I can see that.
The same way you are sexually attracted to Lisa, I am sexually attracted to Carlos.
That makes sense. Yeah. I get that. and I tell you what, Carlos is definitely pretty confident in himself, because even Patrick was like intimidated by him.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know, Patrick, he probably snapped that dude in half. I mean, you're a big dude, you know, and Carlos is in shape, but you know.
I kind of just picture Patrick like punching him like a, I don't know, like a cartoon, and then he just like blasts him like to a wall or something.
It'd have to be some kind of Bruce Lee shit.
Yeah.
Because it's because
I think of Street Fighter, like a Street Fighter kick, but like a punch by Pat, and like Carlos is halfway across the continent.
I picture like turning Carlos into like a pretzel, like bending him up.
you know what I mean? Like, I can see that. Yeah.
You know, because fucking Patrick's like the Incredible Hulk. He's just this big ass dude.
But he's like that classic big guy teddy bear heart kind of dude.
Yeah,
you know?
Doesn't want to fight.
Like, yeah,
you
he's
know,
he kind of he's soft like that. Carlos will fight though. He'll fight you.
Carlos is ready to fight. He was ready to go.
He's like, we'll have a problem.
Like, no, we got to talk, motherfucker.
Yeah.
He wants an apology from both of them, and you know what? I think Pat did the right thing though. Because he's like, you know, listen, I'm not just going to give you a shallow, I'm sorry. Like, I want to kind of show you what I mean.
Right.
I want to, like, kind of, you know, I want to kind of bring it. I want to not just give you the words. I want to give you the action.
Yeah. And if he said it right now, it's like, oh, give me an apology. All right. Well, I'm sorry. Like, it'd be disingenuous. He's right.
Right. So. He's right. Like, I want to show you. I want to, you know.
And it is interesting because first, I've kind of always been on, like, Team Pat with this topic, because it was like, well, Pat didn't even know that Thais didn't tell her dad about Pat, like, her coming to America to marry him, right? So it's like, I mean, how is Pat supposed to ask for the blessing if he's under the impression that her dad knows why she's coming here? I mean, and then, but then once Carlos was like, well, all the times you've been to Brazil, you had at some point the intentions of marrying my daughter, and at no point did you ask my blessing then or tell me your intentions, which I was like, okay, excellent point, Carlos. Excellent point. Bad of them to have not, Thais to not have told Carlos about her plan to move to America and marry Pat. Bad of Pat to have not asked ahead of time, but it's,
but you know, I didn't like Carlos's comments like, oh, you're not a man, like that type of shit. And
I thought,
like,
that was low.
He went really hard on Pat. Like, listen, you should be more upset with Thais. You're the one, you have a much closer relationship with Thais than Pat.
Yeah.
She's the one that really betrayed you.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and you're dumping a lot onto Pat. You know, and I didn't like it. And it's like, come on, dude, they're married. They got a pretty fucking nice life. They've got a kid. Like, chill out a little bit, buddy.
Yeah, like when he was like, oh, you need to prove to me that, you know, you make my daughter happy and that you're good to her. Like, and he even says, like, I'm married to her and we have a baby.
We have a baby. They have a home in Los Angeles or in Las Vegas.
Yep.
And they've got nice cars and shit. Like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
You can't say he's not taking care of her.
Like, I'm pretty sure he's committed and loves her.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So,
granted, you know, disclaimer, you know, just because you're married with a kid, I know, guys, it doesn't mean
and having nice things doesn't necessarily mean you're being taken care of.
Right.
But, I mean, it was just like, dude, chill out a little bit.
Yeah.
I know you're upset and you have every right to be, but calm down.
Yeah, you know? And, I mean, it's been a while. I mean, I don't know how long it's been. But, like, dude, you're still holding a grudge on that man? Like, just embrace. Like, you're harming yourself and your ability to have a relationship with your daughter, your granddaughter, and your, what do you fucking call him? Son-in-law.
Son-in-law,
You know, like, you are the only one. Like, or, like, you're harming your own relationship with these three people by you holding a grudge about this. Like, get with it and move on, man.
Yeah, it's like, if you're upset, you know, be upset. And want that conversation, but you can chill out with, like, the names.
Yeah.
And you're not a man like that shit. Like, come on.
Yeah. I agree. So. I agree. What did he call him? A bastard?
Called him a bastard on the call. And I will hand it to Carlos. I thought for sure, like, there's no way he's gonna talk like that face-to-face. But, no, he did.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess I give him credit there, but
yeah.
Like, chill out,
Carlos. Think he only did it because Pat had the brace on his leg?
Well, and it's like, is he really going to beat me up in front of my daughter? You know what I mean? Like, he's got a little safety net there.
Yeah.
And just cameras and shit. Like, I mean,
yeah.
So he's got a little bit of a safety net. So. Yeah. How about Nicole and Mahmood?
You know, if Nicole would just give this poor bastard, speaking of bastards, if she would just give this poor guy a full night's rest, maybe he'd be able to put his best effort forward.
Yeah, like, she got in his ass immediately and stayed in it for days.
Like, now we're on, I think, day three. It's like, can you give him a fucking minute?
Yeah, seriously. And it's like, no wonder he wants to stay at a fucking hotel. It's the only place he can get some sleep. I just think it's funny that, you know, Nicole is like, hey, get out, go. And then he does. And then she's like, what the fuck?
When will he try?
Like, why did he go? Like, wait, what?
Yeah, when she was trolling him and like, you can't, why do you keep leaving every night? You can't just leave every night. It's like, well, stop telling him to get the hell out of your house every night.
Yeah, you know? And it's like, and as soon as he gets home, it's like, oh, we got to talk about this and da da da. It's like, can't you just give it, like, a night?
Yeah.
Just let shit. Not saying don't discuss it, but, like, can you just give the guy, like, 8 hours, 12 hours? Just.
And that's kind of that, like, anxious attachment style from Nicole of, like, she, to feel better, needs to talk about it right now, right this second, to get it squashed. But, like, Mahmood needs a minute, and it's just.
Right.
Like, give a minute. Like, forget the fact that you also haven't let him sleep the last two nights.
And
you know,
you're just overloading him.
Yeah,
you know?
Just
so
give
he's on
him
zero
a minute.
Sleep, and you're just overstimulating the fuck out of him. Like, chill the fuck out, dude. Just relax.
I was impressed with, like, their ability to. Well, I felt really sad for the moment of like when Nicole goes and picks him up, brings him back, and then he's just asking for, like, a minute in the car by himself, and he just kind of puts his hand, like, it's you know that they love each other, but it's just so tumultuous.
Yeah.
That, and like Nicole says, like, explains to the cameras that, like, they just have this baggage they can't seem to figure out what to do with, and it keeps affecting the relationship. And
right.
I just felt bad for Mahmood to be, like, I've been in moments like that where you really care about somebody, but holy shit, they are making it impossible for you to function with them.
I just need a fucking minute. Yeah. No, I get it. Yeah. And some people are insecure too, where it's like, dude, can you just give me a minute? It's like, oh, you hate me. It's like, I'm going to very soon if you don't fucking give me some time here.
Yeah. And I was impressed with their ability to, like, when they talk, the way they were able to talk in the apartment, and where, you know, Mahmood was like, I don't want to, like, he kind of acknowledged, I don't want to be all angry in the moment and just take off back to Egypt. Like, I want to take a few days and see what I want. And Nicole was actually like, okay, you know, take some time to think about what you want, you know, what you want for your life. And you can stay here. You can stay. But then she kind of, you know, draws the boundaries and, like, well, you can sleep on the couch. I'm not going to share a bed with you. And, you know, and it's like, I felt like for what we've seen of them so far this season, I was impressed with this kind of conversation they were able to have.
Yeah. I feel like maybe it's kind of a long time coming. They should have had this conversation a long time ago. But
yeah. And this may be too little too late, too, with them. It's like, I don't know.
This is something they should have been on the same page about, like, before he got there.
Yeah. You know? And I did like Nicole's point where she tells Mahmood, like, whatever she said, she was like, you know, you have to learn how to be Muslim here, and you can't make me not be American here, and you have to figure out how to be Muslim, and not everything here in America is forbidden like it is in Egypt, and you need to kind of find your place there. Like, you decided to come to America, You need to figure out how to make it work. But right. I also don't, I think there is, like, again, that middle ground where, like, again, Nicole didn't need to be feeding him donuts and busting open the booze. And
yeah.
And when Mahmood said to the cameras, he's talking about how he thinks that Nicole is sort of doing this to get back at him for Egypt.
For,
like,
Egypt.
Where she thought he was controlling her in Egypt. And now she's getting back at him here. Like, oh, I got the power now, bitch. Now what? And I 100% agree with Mahmood. I think at the very least, on a subconscious level, that's what Nicole's doing.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, I don't know that she's intentionally being like, fuck you, but it's, at least there's probably some part of her deep down that's kind of enjoying the hell out of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And a part of her that at least knows, like, as she's doing things and he's getting upset, she's probably at least having the thought, like, well, you know, I didn't like it when you did a bunch of stuff in Egypt, or I didn't like it when you forced that in Egypt. You know, oh, you don't like it, do you? Like, she's at least having these, you know, haha kind of, like, thoughts.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? Like, oh, you don't like it, do you, buddy? Does that suck? You don't like that? Oh, you know.
Right. So, how about Ashley and Manuel? So, they picks up from the last time when they're at the bar arguing and fighting. And Manuel just comes off as, like, just kind of a prick.
Yeah.
You know, and Ashley said something that, like, was really, really sad. And I've seen this many, many times. Like, when they're arguing, Ashley's just trying to be heard, and Manuel is just consumed with the idea of winning the argument.
Yep.
And it's like, God, that's, like, the best way to put it. Like, you're just concerned with winning, and I just want to talk. I want to communicate.
Yeah. But that's, you know, that's the thing with, like, narcissistic personalities, and that's a lot of what I dealt with, is it's not about listening and understanding your partner and their needs and how you can find a middle ground or how you can resolve the situation or what is actually making your partner upset. That's not of interest to them. It's about winning or losing the situation.
Right.
And winning is all they care about. And that's what they aim for at all costs.
And the argument is combat. This is life or death.
Yep.
And this really means something.
Yep.
This,
and, you know, and when you're talking about feelings, when she's trying to, you know, Ashley's trying to communicate to him that things like, you're secretive, it hurts my feelings or bothers me that you don't include me in your life, that you say you want to go travel all by yourself and you don't want me there. It hurts my feelings when, like, she's saying, for, like, when you, like, it's not right for me to wake up in the morning and you're just missing. Like, when you could have just sent me a text, say, hey, you know, you're asleep, I'm just letting you know where I'm going. I'm going to get some breakfast with whatever that guy's name is.
Right.
Like, there isn't anything wrong with that. Like, that is polite. That's healthy communication. But to someone like Manuel, a narcissist, that is, quote, controlling behavior.
That's controlling, right?
And no, that's normal conversation. And so when she's trying to communicate her feelings to Manuel about this, he's interpreting it as he's doing something wrong, he's in trouble, it's his fault, it's accountability.
Right.
And that's what they don't want, and that's what they're allergic to. And then that's where it becomes, I must win this argument by completely avoiding and deflecting this accountability you are trying to put on me, and avoid the shame. Because what narcissists hate, too, is shame. They don't like to feel shame. And so when you're telling them, hey, you hurt my feelings, when normal people, when you hear, hey, you hurt my feelings when you said that, or that kind of offended me how you did that, like, normal people, they feel shame about that. Even narcissists do. But they hate that feeling. So it's like a ping pong. They have to slap it back to your side of the table. And that's just winning the ping pong game. That's
it. And you hurt my feelings by making me feel this way.
Yep. You hurt. What is that meme where it says, like how guys are, or like, what is, it's something like that, like, oh, you made me mad when you told me what I did wrong, or it's, I don't know
what I did that hurt you.
Like guys be like, oh, I'm hurt by, because you told me that I hurt you, like, it's
right.
Some shit like
it's
that.
The same thing. So, and I mean, Manuel, I mean, the shit he was saying, like, someone was dishonest with her in the past and she's taking it out on me. No, you were dishonest with her in the past, buddy. Not someone you.
Yep.
And then, like, that whole shit you were talking about, like, the next day, he goes off to get breakfast with somebody, doesn't tell her where he's going or anything. And it's like, dude, you're in New York City, you're a foreigner, you're just gone. She wakes up and you're just gone.
Yep.
In a place like New York City where anything can fucking happen.
Yep.
It's like, you didn't think she'd be upset by that?
Yeah. Or even, I mean, even just, like, And then when he's like, oh, I didn't tell you because then you would have been like, oh, wait, I want to come. Like, that's, I'm sorry, motherfucker.
Yeah,
you're on a vacation together that I'm sure she's paying for.
And that's a major red flag.
Yeah.
It's like, well, why don't you want me to come? What exactly is going on here?
Exactly. And so, you know. And that's the thing that drives me crazy about Manuel is his whole kind of plot, his whole thing is secrecy and him being shady and deceptive.
Right.
And, you know, very much moon energy. If you guys are tarot fans out there, the moon card is like deception or some shit. So, no. Yeah, that's Manuel.
I thought he was being an ass.
Right. Well, a moon could, hey,
like
mooning.
When you moon someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you moon someone, it's showing your butt. Yeah. Well, that too. And it just, now I forgot where I was going with that about all this moon butt talk, but about him. Oh, him being deceitful.
Yeah.
Like that's his whole shtick. And so it's like you are constantly doing things that are really, in my opinion, him going out of his way to be deceptive and shady.
Right.
And that's what narcissists do too, because they do shit on purpose knowing it'll upset you.
Especially when you're being dishonest about things that you don't need to be dishonest
about.
Yeah,
like what the hell is that about? And so when you are constantly being shady, deceptive, refusing to be transparent with your wife, by the way,
right,
over very simple, basic things, like you are creating an environment of insecurity. And it's like they say, like even the most securely attached person, if they are with somebody that is trying to, that is doing behavior like Manuel, you're going to make the most secure person at least a little bit insecure.
Sure.
No matter what, because that's just human nature. It's like, dude, when you are just lying your ass off all the time and failing to tell me the basic things, and you're just, and then you're gaslighting and you're deflecting and calling, you know, saying I'm controlling, and you know, it's
right.
I just cannot stand Manuel because
that was so ridiculous.
It's like, why are you lying? And when he told that whatever witch person, you know, oh, I'm transparent and honest all the time, like what?
And everybody laughed.
Yeah. Oh man.
And it's like, you know, as much as I hate to agree with Ashley, it's like you wake up and then your husband or your wife is just gone.
Yeah.
Like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of with her on this one.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, he came off as, again, more shady when he's like, he wanted to leave again. He's like, oh, give me the card. I want the card.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And I love, too, people pointed out, like, she's in the gym, you know, working out, and she's very upset. But her shirt has, like, a smiley face that says, be happy on it. It's like, very wrong shirt. But,
that's hilarious.
And I totally get it. It's like when she says, you know, and again, that's my energy from here on out, you know, where she says, I'm not having an unhealthy relationship,
no.
Period. And this is
maybe a little too late for that, but
yeah. And it's just, I feel bad for her because she really is trying to do the right things you should be doing in relationships,
yeah,
which is communicating. I by no means think that she's being controlling,
no,
by wanting to know, even from like, you know, you wake up and your spouse or whoever, your child, whoever you went with is just gone. Like,
right.
You'd be afraid. Well, what happened? Where did they go? And
they better be surprising me with bagels, you motherfucker.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Some shit like that.
Bring me back some pancakes any second now, man. But like, also, I just think it's kind of rude. Like, I don't think it's control.
Rude.
I think it's just rude to just pop out when you know your wife's asleep. And
even if you went with a friend and you did that, it's rude.
Yeah. Like, leave a note, something. You know, just.
It's
let
like,
me know if
so
I gotta
I know
get...
you didn't get abducted.
Yeah,
you know.
It's like, and like if, and even, you know, I'll leave a note. Oh, went for breakfast with Joe or whatever his name is,
yeah,
and
right,
you know, that way, okay, wake up, you're gone, but oh, there's a note stuck to wherever. Like, oh, you got breakfast. Like, I'll send
right
you a text. Hey, can you bring me back something?
Yeah, even if I'm a little bit mad, I'm a lot less mad than you just being gone.
Yeah,
you know.
Yep.
And when I really felt bad for Nicole or Ashley was when she was like, she says something along the lines of, like, I think he sabotaged this trip because he actually wanted to go by himself.
Yep.
Like, that's sad.
I have been in that exact situation.
Yeah. It's
a
just,
few times.
That's depressing, man.
Yep. Yep. So. Or where, like, or you have somebody do something that you were really, or come with you to something you were really excited about, and then all they do is just,
ruin
the entire time. It just, like, why did I even bring you? Like, this is my punishment for asking
right
you to do something important to me. You know, it's,
exactly.
You just ruined the experience. That happened to me when I went to California with
I remember.
He ruined that trip for me. Because it was just a rain cloud
so
the whole
time.
So
looking forward to it, and then he just, yeah, oh yeah.
Yep.
And then, of course, stupid ass will be like, well, she's crazy.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. But you don't want to talk about what happened all leading up to the crazy moment, right?
Yeah, it's not pertinent.
Yeah. That doesn't matter. Irrelevant.
How about June Jasmine? Jasmine's fucking weird. Like, she's in the alligators. Like, it's a weird, it's okay. A weird animal to, like, be into.
Okay, but Gino, this guy gets weirder and weirder, man. He used to capture spiders and bees and shit and watch them fight. That's serial killer shit, like Jasmine said. That's what Dahmer did with his little fish. He had this fish fight or whatever.
Yeah.
That's fucking weird.
That is weird. How about Gino, like, trying to make moves on Jasmine and her being like, no. I think that was the first time we've seen that.
Yeah. Poor, I mean, and because for how, I don't know, there was a whole season of whatever other show they were on where, like, Jasmine's crying that Gino never wants to have sex with her, never tries, never whatever. And the poor fucking guy, he fucking plopped that big ass, that basketball sized bath bomb in there. And he wiggled his gross toes for her. And
I hated that.
I hated that too.
And then I love how she's like, well, I'm just not feeling mad into it. And he's like, but I made you a bubble bath.
Yeah.
Like, I wasted a dollar worth of bath stuff.
And then I like how he climbed in it to, like, kind of entice her, but he's wearing still, like, his cargo shorts.
I know.
Like, dude, what? Like, you can't, what were you going to do? You were going to step out of the tub and take your cargo shorts off and step back in? Like, what were you going to do? It's weird.
That's odd. Well, Leandro signed Jasmine up for a beauty pageant.
Yeah.
That's a production plant. There's no way.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're really good friends. Like, if you come to visit me in Miami, like, I'm going to sign you up for a beauty pageant. That's weird.
Yeah.
I mean, that's more like Jasmine's thing, I guess. But I don't know. I feel like that just reeks like an idea from a producer.
Yeah. And conveniently, it's happening while you're there kind of a thing. But
yeah, right. Exactly. So I don't know.
Speaking of the crocodiles, I did not like that Jasmine kissed that, like, dead crocodile, alligator
yeah,
face, because I just thought, like, how many other people have kissed that alligator face?
Or have touched it, you know? Yeah. Hands are gross, man.
And I highly doubt that guy is, like, wiping down that alligator face with, like a Lysol wipe every hour, you know? Like,
no, probably not. I imagine not. Probably not even daily or monthly. Maybe just never does.
Probably never does, yeah. Because
you wouldn't figure someone would be that dumb to, like, kiss a fucking...
Yeah. Yeah, well.
How about Lauren and Alexi? This is boring as shit, man. All that happens is I can give you a rundown of their entire segment this week. She got her surgery.
Yeah.
There it is. Yeah. That's it. She got her surgery.
Yeah, and I did like...
her mommy makeover.
Yeah, God, I hate those fucking words, hashtags, whatever you want to call them, but...
Do you, but can you please call it, not call it mommy makeover?
Yeah, just don't call it that. Yeah, just, like, whatever. You got your cosmetic surgery, I don't know. And
yes.
I did like that, like, Alexi says that, you know, he's worried that, you know, what if it... And I don't really know the science behind it. I mean, I don't know logistically, like, exact, but, like, I'd imagine, and from what I've heard in passing over different related shows or whatever, like, with plastic surgery like that, where you're essentially, or it's not even plastic surgery, I guess, where you're, like, sucking fat from one spot and then putting it in another spot, like, I don't know how that, like, I don't know how that works. Like, if you take my arm fat out of my arm and then you inject it into my boob, like, will it fill out the way you would think? Or would it? Or could it be like a weird clump on my boob? You know what I mean?
I just picture Popeye the Sailor Man when he eats the spinach and his arms get all big. Like, your boob's kind of like expanding and flexing.
Yeah. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, imagine, like, almost like I had a second little boob that, like, popped out of my current boob. You know what I mean? Like, how does it work? Like, can you get, it guaranteed? Like, will the fat just kind of float around evenly everywhere? Or... how do you do that?
There's got to be some kind of sculpting going on, because I don't...
Yeah, because, like, how... That's what I mean. Like, how does it work? It can't just simply be you take the fat out of somewhere and you just squirt it in somewhere else and it just magically knows what to do.
Yeah, because I can't imagine.
You think about my 600-pound life, right? And the way that fat gets stored on some people, very weird. So it's like, what if, you know, I don't know, they inject her fat in from her arm or whatever in her ass, but, like, it makes, like, that weird butterfly wing thing.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm curious. And so Alexi says, like, well, what if it doesn't turn out the way that she wants and the way that she likes? And then is she going to get another surgery and then another surgery and then another surgery? And then fast forward, another Darcy and Stacey, you know, just addicted to surgery.
Kanye West's mom. I think that's how she died. She did a whole bunch of cosmetic surgeries and eventually...
there was some kind of complication.
And she ended up dying. As safe as those surgeries are in America, they're not perfectly safe.
Yeah.
Things can happen.
And I just worry for Lauren because, and I know we've talked about this before, with her, but it's just like kind of body image has a lot to do mentally too. Like body dysmorphia is a mental thing, a mental element too. And that's what's kind of tricky about it is like kind of no matter how much weight you lose or how, you know, fit you get, like there's an element that you don't necessarily get to a point where you're like, okay, I love my body now.
Right.
I no longer have any insecurities about it.
Right. And we've talked about that before. How people will say like, well, if I just lost 30 pounds, things would be perfect. And then they do it and they still don't feel good.
Or like they don't like the way their body looks now having lost 30 pounds. Like, oh, well, now my tummy's a little saggy or now this is a little sad. You know, it like you start to pick at another part of your body in a different way. And
it might be something more going on.
Yeah. So I don't like how Lauren is like, oh, I have body dysmorphia, but as soon as I get the surgery, all will be well. Like, I don't think so. Usually that's not how it works.
See, if she wants another cosmetic surgery, then I think Alexi really needs to be worried. Like, dude, you better talk to a fucking therapist first because I don't want to do all this.
And I mean, what you know we've said before with everybody that gets surgery, you know, it's hey, it's your body, if it makes you feel better, have at it, you know, but just didn't look bad to me. It's like she's got better abs than I do and I haven't had a single child, you know. And I don't know,
that's what I mean, that's why I'm kind of, you know, why I was kind of like weirded out by the idea of it for her, because it's like, why? I mean, for having 3 kids you look pretty damn good. And it's like, it just, to me, it seems like it's going to be one of these things like, oh, okay, well, now I need to fix my nose. This is perfect, but I need to fix my nose. Ooh, now I got to fix my chin. My chin's not right. You know what I mean? It's going to turn into this thing. And it's like, you know, it's dangerous.
Yeah. So. Well, hopefully Lauren will get this full body surgery and it'll be what she wanted and good enough and she'll be
right as rain, hopefully.
Yeah.
So, all right, Robinson Fair. I don't know. They got crystals. They were arguing in front of a crystal vendor at like an flea market.
He was a life coach.
Oh, that's okay. Right.
He's also a shaman.
Oh, that's true.
So
that's
true. It's not just a vendor, Marty. He's a life coach and a shaman.
Just so happened to have the perfect thing for them in that moment to sell them. Yeah. God bless, right?
Yeah.
So I guess the big drama here, Sophie's on the phone with her mom. And find out that Sophie suspects that Rob has a second phone.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, Sophie's mom finds out that she's living with Rob again. She didn't know. And she's all upset about that. But now, oh, he might have a second phone. This fucker's 100%. He is cheating. You know, if he does have the second phone, that's a major red flag.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, the problem with Sophie's mom is she's so anti-Rob. That it's like when Sophie needs some actual like sound relationship advice, she can't go to mom.
Yeah.
Because mom's just going to be like, well, just leave him.
Yeah.
No matter what it is, because she just hates Rob.
Yeah.
You know? But I don't know. If he has a second phone, that's very, very suspicious.
Yeah. And like, first I was like, okay, this is just another production shit. Like, oh, let's have this be the drama, right? And I was like, okay. But then when they did like the flashback to like the scene where he gave her fucking salmon on crackers with cheese she doesn't like or whatever, like, and that's when this mysterious phone is vibrating and then Rob's voicemail comes over the Bluetooth, like, that's pretty damning, man. I don't know.
Weird.
I think there's a good chance there is another phone because it connected to his Bluetooth like that. Like I thought, okay, maybe it was just production, one of like the production people's phone, whatever. But like for it to do his voicemail over the Bluetooth, like I think there was another phone in there.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise it's like, well, what is that?
Yeah. You know, like, yeah. Why did your phone, your phone in your hand not vibrate or anything, but it happened like, and also he was like in that scene, he's like, oh, mine's on airplane mode. And you know, it's like, well, why do you put your personal phone on airplane mode? Like that's
when you're not on an airplane. Like,
like when you don't want messages to come through
they are filming though. I mean, maybe he didn't want his shit going off during filming, you know, people calling, whatever.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I mean, shady.
That's just one thing compiled with a bunch of other shit that makes you think, like, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, Sophie, though, is at least somewhat responsible because she's like, I can't find the phone, so I'm not going to, like, bring it up to Rob and start this big fight.
Yeah.
Because I don't have the evidence.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I think that's actually probably a good move.
Yeah. And honestly, because, again, knowing from experience in similar situations, if you want to ask about something that's quite suspect and you don't have hard evidence, you know that it's going, whether you have hard evidence or not, really, you know that if you approach them with it, again, like Manuel, like the accountability and they're being caught, like, it's going to be one hell of a fucking battle for you. It's not going to go well for you. It's going to be a huge mountain you're going to try to climb that they're just going to do everything they can to knock you down, not let you get up it.
He's never going to admit to any wrongdoing.
Yep.
It's just, no matter, he's just not.
And then somewhere in there, everything's going to become your fault about the piece of shit you are. Oh, yeah. So you got to really make sure you got your ducks in a row if you're going to go to battle with these motherfuckers.
And it's like, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to regret even bringing it up.
Yep.
Because it's like, this has turned into a 4-hour long thing. I'm tired. I'm hungry. Narcissists, man, they'll fight all night.
Oh,
they'll go all night, man.
Absolutely.
This is life or death.
Yep.
So you're going to be done.
Yep.
And he's going to wear you out. He's going to wait you out. And then eventually you're going to end up apologizing to him.
Yep.
Like you said. So.
Yep. And you're just going to sit there defeated and like, why did I even bother? He didn't listen. He didn't care.
Even bother.
And everything is my fault again.
I just feel worse than before.
Yep.
So. Well, that just about does it for this edition of Big Ed's Neck, the only 90 Day Fiancé podcast. We'll be joining us next time, and we'll talk about 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After, Season 8, Episodes 9 and 10, because you're going to be out next week, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we'll do a double in a couple of weeks then.
McDouble.
Double McDoubles. I used to get double McDoubles, like two McDoubles at McDonald's. And my friend said, well, if it isn't double McDoubles.
Good story. Got time to tell it again?
Goodbye!